Hey, it's Asania, baby.
Hey, it's Deshaun, baby.
And it's a light bulb moment.
Hell yeah. It's a motivational podcast.
Sure is. Mm-hmm.
Is it?
It is. Mm-hmm.
Y'all check it out. Check it out. Hey, what's up, y'all? This is the Light Bulb Moment podcast. Again, experimenting with our Zoom, which I actually really like, by the way. I'm Deshaun. And we got Asania to my, I guess that would be my left. And we have our special guest, Miss Lindsay, to the, well, on mine's like, you're beneath me. So, like, right here is Lindsay. Lindsay, what's your last name?
Harper.
Harper. Lindsay Harper, our financial expert.
Yes. Thank you for introducing me. And you didn't even say Deron this time. You get all professional when we do interviews and shit. You just go by the show now.
Hi, everyone. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me, you guys.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, man.
So, tell us a little bit about yourself. How long have you been messing with credit or messing with financial stuff?
Well, let's just start from the beginning.
Okay.
When I got called in my college dorm room in 1998,
okay.
And I was 19 years old, and Discover Card called me and said, hey, do you want a credit card? I said, yeah, I do. I was waiting. I'm about to go on spring break.
Right.
I could not wait until I got a hold of that card, right? I didn't know squat about credit back then. You know what happened with that card? I took my black behind down to Daytona Beach for Black College Reunion. Yep. I charged it up. I took some cash advances, not knowing I was paying 28% interest.
Damn.
Yes. Cash advances on that particular card were 32%. So I'm like,
right, just living the life, right?
What kind of cash advances you take?
I think I had up to $200, and that was 30% on top of that. So let's just, I got that my second semester of my freshman year of college. So by the time
you took $200 out in cash advancement, you was paying them back like
at 30% interest.
Almost like three, right? I ain't doing good math right now, but
I'm not doing math right now either, but you guys get the point.
Yeah.
That was the beginning.
That's 60 bucks.
Of my credit ignorance.
Right, right.
You feel me? And that was over 20 years ago. So that's how it started. So anytime I went to go get any type of credit, I got charged an astronomical interest rate, not knowing why. Fast forward a couple of years, I hit my, that card eventually got charged off. Okay. And I'm going to tell y'all right now.
Oh, real quick. Charged off.
Charged off.
As in you paid it off.
No, they wrote it off because I stopped paying on it.
Okay, so charged off means they sent it to collections, right?
They sent it to collections, but they couldn't collect on it, so they were like, they did away with it.
Okay, like, we just gonna get it. Like, you just not gonna pay it, we done.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yep.
How long did that take to get, like, for that to get to that point?
I'll say about a year or two. I know. I tried to pay it, and then I was paying minimum balances, and we already know. At 26% or 28%, whatever. I think it was 28% at the time. With that, the 30% cash advances, I'm paying $35 a month.
You ain't even scratching the interest on that motherfucker.
Exactly.
What does charge off do to your credit? Is that really bad for your credit?
It comes up as a derogatory item onto your credit.
Oh, so it does have an impact.
It does have an impact.
How long does it take to get that up?
It just all depends. Some people actually pay theirs off. I don't encourage that, though.
Okay. Why?
Because of a tool that I use.
Oh, okay. We discussed that. We discussed that. All right. Right. Got you. We discuss that later. They can't get that for free on the episode.
Okay. Okay. Cool. You don't want to give away all your... I get it. I totally get it. Yeah.
We discussed that.
All your goods. No.
I got my tea. In a mason jar.
In a mason, come through mason jar. Yeah, it's like somebody pop up on the porch.
That's what I do.
I love it.
But all right, so you said we stopped there. You had the
credit card got charged off.
Fast forward.
Yeah, so we're gonna go ahead a couple of weeks. Now, mind you, at that point, I didn't understand credit. I didn't need credit. I had a cash card. You know how you just don't even think about it. You're like, I got cash on deck. I had a couple of jobs. I made good money.
I'm good.
So I was a cash person. Yeah. But the thing about it is nobody uses their credit until they need their credit. You go to get an apartment, I live with my pops. Then my pops bought a condo, so I paid him rent. So I didn't need credit for almost a decade. Everything I did was cash. I got a car.
So you weren't building credit?
No.
So you she
wasn't
no
using credit. It. She was just using cash for everything.
I was using cash. And then when I did get a car, I had another 20% interest rate, 26% interest rate.
Which is really high.
Chevy Cobalt. That I was basically paying a Benz car note, driving a 4-cylinder Chevy.
Oh my God.
Damn. Yeah.
Crazy. You should have just bought that shit cash.
You heard? But I bought it brand new. I actually had that car for 11 years. I sold it maybe almost 2 years ago.
Damn, man.
That car that I met you, when I met you, I seen that gold car that I used to have. I was paying for a Benz. You've been in that car and
been a while.
But I was paying for a Benz, basically, with a Chevy. You know, it had a system in it, but that's not the point. The point of the matter is I wasn't educated enough, or not even that. I just didn't even think about it. It wasn't important to me.
Right. Like, it wasn't on your mind at all.
Not at all. I mean, and that goes for most people. Not realizing credit is a tool. It's a discount. People don't realize if your credit starts with 3, 4, 5, or 6, you don't have good credit.
Wow. So only good credit is only when you're in the 7s and above.
And after this whole COVID situation, that's changing, because you have to look at it like this. You have to, I always say, follow the money.
Okay.
Right? Banks are changing the way they do things. They're changing how people qualify. Think about this. What's the largest purchase you'll ever make in your life?
Your house.
Exactly. So recently, Chase Bank, Wells Fargo, and a couple of other financial institutions raised the qualifier of credit to 700. Oh, wow. It used to be in the 600s. Before, you can get an FHA loan in the 600s, but all that's changing. Right. So right all now,
those programs that people use to get homes, are those going to stop?
We don't know. I actually work with a lot of realtors in the Oregon, and I work with a lot of realtors and mortgage brokers in the organization that I work with. And everybody's up in arms because nobody knows. There's so much uncertainty. But in the meantime, this is fertile ground to prepare. Because one thing that we know in recession times is when businesses blossom. Yeah. A lot of the businesses that have been operating successfully for over 100 years, those formed during the Great Depression.
Right.
When you just look at the history and, again, follow the money. When you look at it from that perspective, it lets you know, let me chop wood, carry water. We have to learn how to delay gratification.
Right.
We truly do. It's okay to look nice and look cute and all this other
that's
stuff.
That's crazy, man. But I mean, shit, that's extreme level of discipline when you have not been taught delayed gratification. That's why I'm in the industry I'm in, because delayed gratification is a motherfucker. I'm like, my
yeah.
Today.
I mean, but think about it. Even in the industry that you're in, because people want to stunt on the gram, they can't wait to go to P.F. Chang's in the airport and be like, yeah, about to fly out, about to stop and give me some P.F. Chang's. Boom, quickly post it. And not only that, that's free promotion for P.F. Chang's. That's not promotion for them.
Right.
So they're making P.F. Chang's money and not even making themselves money, and they're spending money.
Right.
The whole thing about it is it's a vicious cycle that we have to really understand. Where do I fit in this? How do I change my mindset so I can get out of this? And how do I start a different cycle?
Now, can you, like, because I always have a hard time understanding what exactly credit is. I'm, like, not a financial expert at all. And I think a lot of people would appreciate if you just broke down what is credit.
Cool.
Just, like, a simple definition that can help us basically understand, you know, an elementary explanation of credit.
Okay. I got some stats for you.
Okay.
And it's like a credit wheel, 100% of what builds a credit score. A FICO score is an average of all the three credit bureaus. You know, you have TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian, correct, okay? So credit, your credit qualifies you for a job in some instances, qualifies you for your, did you guys know for car insurance, your car, there's all car insurance companies utilize a tier to determine how much they're going to charge you based on your credit?
It's based off, I know it's based off of driving history too, because my car insurance was
I thought it was just driving history, but credit also. Right, but they don't tell you it's credit though, huh?
And age too,
credit,
right?
Is the main driver. Credit is the main driver for the rate that you're going to pay.
Really?
A lot of the average consumer does not know that.
I did not know that.
Your driving history also plays a factor, but your credit is the main driver.
Even though they want
pun intended.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So basically how you break down your credit is 35% of it's payment history. 30% of it is the amount you owe.
Uh-huh.
15% is the length of credit history.
Uh-huh.
10% is new credit opened. And 10% is the type of credit, whether it be a credit card, a mortgage, car note, et cetera.
Right. So payment history and your, would that be credit to debt ratio is amount owed? Is that the same thing?
That's amount owed is the 30%. We'll start with the largest chunk, which is your payment history.
Right.
Okay. Take 35. Student loan. Take your student loan. Do either one of you have student loans?
Yes.
Okay. Are your student loans current?
Like paid up to date?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Outside of, let's just say pre-COVID, because COVID changed everything.
Right.
But let's just, pre-COVID, if your student, say for example, if you had, I know a lot of people have student loans and a lot of people are not current on their student loans. That has a huge impact on your credit. That's 35%. If you do not have a deferment or a forbearance or some type of forgiveness in place, that's going to have an impact on your credit. Not only that, a lot of people don't realize, even if you have to pay something, what the best way to do is contact whoever your student loan is through, find out what programs are available and say,
yes.
Will this arrangement bring my account to current? That's a very, very key piece. Right. You have to ask them, does this bring my account to current? Because if it doesn't, it's going to have a negative impact on your credit.
Wow.
Wow. Okay. So, got you. That's one thing I've been very diligent about. I haven't set up a system to pay it off because I wasn't thinking that far ahead. Mm-hmm. But I always kept them up to date. Either in forbearance or like paying on them or mm-hmm. deferment, whatever options I had with the my student loans, but yeah.
And you want to take it a step further. You ask them that question. You also ask them, can I get this in writing? Because when one thing people don't realize is sometimes whoever it was administered through, they sell those companies.
Yeah.
So if you don't have those in writing,
yeah, that's true.
You don't have anything to back you up.
Sally Mae sold it to Navient.
Case in point.
Sally Mae sold that shit over to Navient, right? 100%.
Exactly.
And I think I got another one that got sold over to another company when Sally Mae got sold out.
That's happened to me.
They have completely different systems than the system you had in place with the company.
Exactly. So if you don't have that in writing, then what do you do? I'm sorry, go ahead, Deshaun.
When they start selling them, is that like an opportunity to negotiate with that collection agency?
It could be.
Okay.
But that doesn't necessarily, if there is, but that's
all.
That
don't mean they're going to have, they're going to buy by the same rules or they're going to have the same shit, standards and blockers of the loan service. Like they should be completely different compared to that previous loan service. All right. So I don't want to get caught up on student loans.
But no doubt.
Still, that's something that people need to come check out. Mm-hmm. But like, that's a big one. But like, for instance, car notes, like what about consistently paying electricity bill? Because I had a scenario at one point in time where I wasn't paying my electricity bill on time. I was paying it, but it wasn't on time. And it was late several months in a row. And eventually, they made me pay like a late fee. Do like small bills like that help or?
That all depends because did you guys realize that companies have to pay creditors to report onto your credit report. They have to pay the bureau. The credit bureaus are not government entities. They're private companies. So they have to actually, like, say, for example, T-Mobile. If I had, unless my T-Mobile bill goes into collections, which, you know, after a couple of, they're going to get their money either way. But it takes a while for some of them to actually go to collections. But sometimes it can be 2 or 3 months that you're behind, but it won't necessarily reflect on your credit report. But then, so not all of them report.
Once that shit hits, though.
Once it hits collections, yeah, it's more than likely on your credit report. But there's even some instances where it could be in collections and not on your credit report.
Interesting. Interesting.
That is wild.
Well, what determines all this? Is it, does it just depend on the whole lot of
if they pay?
So I pay off the state for the IRS, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I should went into collections. But whatever the collections is for the IRS, it does not show up on my credit score. It's just in collections for the IRS.
Right. So, the IRS has to pay the bureaus in order to report it onto your credit report.
And they ain't gonna pay that shit.
Nah, there's millions of people that owe the IRS. Think about it. If they had to pay $1 for everybody that has an account in collections, that would be $1 million.
$6 million.
Thank you.
Exactly, yeah.
Damn.
So, still making money. Even if you ain't paying them back all the way, they
still. Not even 300, but if you split that shit in half for the population, that's still like $150 million just for every, let's just say a dollar.
And that's just a dollar. Imagine the people paying like 35, 100, 200. Oh, wow. That's a lot of money.
It is. And they're not, the IRS doesn't want to spend that kind of money.
Got you. So
especially
that's
when they have people and they're having the same issues that everybody else is having.
Right.
A friend of mine's mom works for the IRS, and you know they haven't had to furlough people. But remember when the government shut down last year, they had to do furloughs. The IRS can't afford to report everyone's derogatory status onto their credit report.
Aye, aye, aye. So like,
that's off record.
This coronavirus and everything shutting down just showed me how everybody owes somebody. Like,
exactly.
Everybody. The people you owe somebody, and then they owe somebody, and then they owe somebody, and then they owe somebody.
Even the rich people owe somebody that we ain't even think about they owe. Like,
nah, you would think,
it's almost
they
like you're going to get
other people's money.
So you have to figure out how to pay it.
Yeah. And the thing about it is you definitely want to keep your debt down. Like, like for example, the 30%, the amount you owe, the part that makes up your credit score as well, that's a very, very key piece.
Right.
Especially for somebody who pays their bills on time. They're like, I pay my bills on time. I got credit cards. I do everything I'm supposed to do. Why is my score so low? Okay, well, if you have a $1,000 credit card and you owe $999,
yeah,
you want to keep that below 30%. Ideally, you want to keep that below 20, maybe 10. I mean,
so my credit card is $2,500 limit, like $2,500 limit, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to keep that somewhere.
30% of that. Let me get my calculator.
Like $500-$600.
Like $800, something like that.
Yeah, about that.
So don't go over 30% of whatever your credit line is, basically.
Try not to, and then you have to also factor in your interest, because once that interest hits, it's going to bump it back up.
Yeah, that shit. Yeah, I remember that shit got up to like $800-$900 one time, and the interest, my interest was like, I mean, I got a low interest rate, but it was like additional like $40, $50, $60.
Exactly. So on a $2,500 credit card, 30% is $750. But if you're getting charged, let's say 20% interest, I hope not, that's another $210. So you have to tack on the $210 to the $750 to stay below 30%. It's wild, but the thing about it is, it's not a game, it's your life. You have to look at this like you're breathing air. You have to treat your money, your credit, your finances, and your livelihood just like you treat your body. You have to love it and nourish it.
But that's the thing. Everybody ain't loving their body and loving and nourishing and they, you know, they shit.
That's,
so
a, whole like, that's a whole other podcast. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a different episode. but it's
a lot of people. Money is a real sensitive subject. I feel like for a lot of people, even people who have knowledge with it, like they still seem to not be good with their money.
I'll give you my family for example. Credit. I know for my family, credit has always been a part of the conversation. Like once, like a lot of my cousins, we're all around the same age. We're in our 30s, 40s. We all have homes, children, blase, blah. So as we started, you know, maturing, family was like, all right, so you got a kid, you're going to buy a crib, what's good, you know? And money was always a part of the conversation. But when I talked to some of my other friends, that's not the case. They're like, nobody taught me about credit. I mean, honestly, nobody talked to me about credit either until I had bad credit. And they were like, oh, well, you know, you should have been doing da-da-da. I'm like, well, why didn't you tell me?
Right.
Now we have an open dialogue about that because that's important. When you look at in terms of generational wealth, the families that have survived from all the way back to, like I was saying, those depression times, that's because they had generational wealth. They had those conversations. They took life insurance policies and were able to start businesses after they cashed them out. They did things like that.
Man, my mom, man.
Look at Master P. He started No Limit with a life insurance policy cash out. You know what I'm saying? I guess one of his grandparents, I can't remember the exact story, but he got a lump sum of cash and that's how he started No Limit Records. But that's the thing about generational wealth and having those conversations. Those are very important. And in our community, that's not the case. We always act like the game is to be sold and not to be told. But that's not how it's supposed to be. How are we going to get ahead as a community if we don't have these conversations?
And it's not even just in our community, because I mean, it's even poor white people, man.
Yeah. But I'm look.
Your focus is us.
I know.
What's near and dear to my heart.
We ain't going to turn into that. We ain't going to turn into that.
But so plus credit, like, what are some other financial tips that you have?
Some financial tips. Master that formula that we just broke down.
Okay.
Master the 30% of the amount you owe. Master the 35% of payment history. How about start out with some revolving credit?
Okay.
If you don't have revolving credit, I have access to tools that allow for you to acquire more.
Right.
But the thing about it is, if once you understand the formula and how it's all broken down, it just becomes like,
okay.
Water.
Because basically, like, you want to keep your debt within 30% of what? Your income?
Essentially. Well, okay. I would suggest, actually, I want to make sure this is good advice, but just think about it like this. Treat your credit as if you're trying to get a mortgage.
Okay.
And if you go online, you go onto the HUD website, or you go on any lender, any private lender's website, they have breakdowns of the qualifications, the credit qualifications that you need in order to get a home. Get a Credit Karma or a Credit Sesame login. Now, I will caveat it by saying, be careful with those because, don't be careful with them, they're free. Okay, free is always good. But they're also marketing companies. They try to get you to purchase another credit card. They're partnered up with other companies that try to get you to get more credit, but utilize their free tools. So you have an idea of where you stand. It's not going to be an exact number, but it's good to know where you stand first, because you guys would be surprised. A lot of people don't even know what their credit looks like.
Right. Now, do you trust apps like Credit Karma?
I have Credit Karma and Credit Sesame, but those aren't your exact. Those are a rough estimate of your FICO score, because one time...
You might as well just log in and get an Experian or a FICO, or just go get... I mean, not a FICO, Experian or... what are the other two?
TransUnion.
Yeah. It's just good to have a rough estimate.
Right.
In order... You get a free credit report every year. Use it. Because a lot of times people don't realize there are derogatory, incorrect, and inaccurate things on there that could be deleted.
And where can we get that free credit score from every year?
Every year? You know what? I think you can order it directly from the bureaus.
Okay.
You know, know what? That's a good question, because I think I've ordered mine, but I've ordered mine through the company that I'm with. But and prior to that, I did it through my lender when I was actually last year when I refinanced my mortgage.
Okay.
Oh, but Google, there, you can just type in just a simple Google search. Mm-hmm. How do I get my free credit report?
And can you tell us about your business and everything that you do as a financial advocate?
Wait, before we get into that, I have one last question. And one last question before I forgot. This was something that I learned about, and I wanted to know the relevancy of this new factor. It was the debt to income ratio. Mm-hmm. That was something that I ran into when I went to purchase my car some years back. And I had a pretty good credit score, but I did not know, or I was not aware that debt to income ratio was something that was relevant.
That is relevant. It's relevant for any time you go to get a loan. Now, I don't have any hard numbers for you. A lot of that information is available on the web, but that is also something that people should consider before they go to make a large purchase. Your two largest purchases are going to be your car and your home. So naturally, you want to be equipped with the tools to understand what you need in order to qualify for a certain amount of money. And not only that, I think I was on the CarMax website some years ago, and it's like a plug and play. You plug in how much you want to pay, and they tell you what you might need to put down and all of that. And there's also some other tools on there. I don't know if it's on CarMax, but this information is out there where you can plug in what your income is and they'll let you know what you can qualify for. But you want to do that ahead of time. And you guys want to ask me why?
Why?
Okay, you guys both have car notes. Do you have a car note, Deshaun?
Yes.
Okay, you got yours from a dealer?
I got mine through the bank.
Okay. Ooh, you're smart. Okay. So I got mine from the dealer, right? And I sat in there for about 2 hours before they could give me a loan that was something I would be willing to pay. Because they came at me with some old crazy number. I was like, that's a mortgage? No, not for a car. Lo and behold, by the time I got, 30 days later, I got my credit report and I had about 13 inquiries.
Oh. Everybody come to the end.
You were running your credit like crazy trying to find something to approve for you.
Yes. And those all have an impact on your credit score.
Right. All those hard inquiries. Well, you're
sitting there minding your business. Meanwhile, your credit score can be impacted by 50 to 100 points based off that one visit.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's a lot. That's almost like sue-worthy. Like, you can't sue nobody for messing up your credit like that.
I mean, it's all, you know, everybody's different, but if they do that many inquiries, because some people, their credit is terrible. They might even need a cosigner.
So how many? I'm sorry, I missed that, but I was thinking about something. I just thought about some shit that I could do right now while the shit is going on. So you said, what about inquiries? How many inquiries did they do?
They did like 13 on mine at that time. Yeah. That probably had an impact of like, I don't even really know, because put it like this. The following month, my credit score dropped probably about 40 points.
Wow.
Based off of that. Yeah. But sometimes 40 points is all you need to qualify for certain loans. Because think about it, like I said.
That's like the bar or whatever that you just slipped under because of them.
Exactly. That's why you have to be equipped. But I didn't know. Right. I didn't think I would need my credit. And that's another thing. Like, people always think, like I said, don't wait until you need your credit to have good credit. Have good credit and then use it as a tool because it's a discount. Do you want to drive the Chevy or the Benz? You're going to pay the same amount.
Because my interest rate is only 2 point. It's 2 point something.
Okay. So you're doing your thing.
But that's because I had somebody like working with me. But I went through a lot. Like when I went to get my car, I spent months. Like, I didn't get a car like within a week or something. I probably spent 3-4 months looking for a car. You know, actually talking to different people. I went to a credit union first. I had already established an account with a credit union. So I went to them for the loan.
That was smart.
they kind of told me what my shit stood, you know, like the kind of interest rate I would get. And then I had somebody who I was close to, and she kind of just went with me when I went to get my final, like the final place I went to get my car. She went with me and she sat down with me and she taught me to hustle, because I had already figured out the debt to income ratio. That was like when I got introduced to that, I had to figure that part out. That's what took so long. Once I got that resolved, it was like, your credit score is pretty good, so we'll give you a pretty decent interest rate. And I ended up going through the loan company through the dealership versus my credit union, because they gave me a lower interest rate than the credit union did. I think the credit union like 2.5, 2.4. They gave me like 2.1.
Shoot. Hey, penny saves a penny earned, because that can make a difference of $30, $40. But still, over time, you're paying that for a few years. There, you know.
Yep. So, but okay, your business.
My business. Okay, so basically, I serve as a referral agent. I help empower people to get in good financial shape without disclosing too much and compromising some of the, you know, there's certain things I can and can't talk about on certain forums. But I will say this, I absolutely love what I do, because it, like I said, like the knowledge that I was sharing on here, it's that and some. I have access to a will, trust, and power of attorney. I have access to budgeting tools. I have access to paying off debt that I have that's outstanding. And also, I work with a nonprofit organization that helps go into schools and educate children on how to establish credit, maintain their credit, and teach their families in some cases. We also provide scholarships as well. So that's the cool thing about the business that I'm in. I thank God for it. I've only been in it for about 3 months, but I was actually looking for something to do to supplement my income. But you guys know I have 2 small kids, 9 and 4. Okay, so if I'm out of the house, why am I spending time out of the house that I'm paying for to maintain and away from my kids? So I had to find something that was home-based. And that was the most important part.
How would someone get in contact with you? In your company.
They can get in contact with me at my Instagram, which is Lindsay Ultra, LYNDSAY_Ultra, ULTRA. Or they can call me on my cell phone. I'm joking. But it's best to just...
Should have given the Mike Jones phone number. You should have given the Mike Jones.
Exactly. I do have contact information on there, but the number that, you know, I got one of those, I'm gonna be honest, I got one of those little fake Google numbers and I ain't feeling that. So I'm getting ready to move to a different platform to have a stronger communication mechanism. Okay. But the best way to contact me is through my Instagram and a DM. I talk to people all day.
Oh, that's what's up. Cool. Oh God, do we already follow her on Instagram? We already follow Lindsay?
On Lightbulb Mama, yes.
Yes.
So you can tell who the active one is, right? You can tell who the active one is.
Right? He's
like,
do we follow
Lindsay? I'm trying to get this fucking to do more.
Well, Lindsay, thank you so much for coming on. I learned a couple of things. Lightbulb moments. Wow, credit is very interesting. It's such a deep world.
It's a deep world, but like I said, it's a tool.
Right.
Do you discuss more than just credit, just overall financial literacy, other aspects of making streams of revenue, you know what I'm saying, explaining residual income? Like, that's all the different forms of, that's all the stuff that comes in the package, too.
So you can teach everything within the financial literacy world.
Yeah, so I don't want to mention like it's just credit, like credit, because we've been discussing credit this whole time and all these different forms. So I want to understand that it's not just credit, it's budgeting, it's financial.
Right. That's one of the beauties of
business, how to buy a house, how to buy a parking space, how to buy a property, how to expand into property.
Well, a lot of that starts with credit, though.
That's the foundation. And to be honest, that's not part of what I do, but that is the foundation, because you want to set credit goals. Like I said, credit is a tool. So with the tools, what are you going to do?
My pops has been talking about that shit for a minute, man. Like, how to take your credit and turn it into like money.
And I sent you a link. I don't know if you had a chance to look at it.
I ain't looked at it yet.
Okay, so when you get an opportunity, I want you to take a look at it because it talks about group economics. And the thing about it is, if you don't, okay, I'm going to just give you a quick statistic. 80% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck.
Yes, sir.
So if that's the case, if everybody's living paycheck to paycheck, how do they have access to obtain wealth? They don't have extra money. Thankfully, like I said, I got involved with this because I was like, I need extra money. This was before the interest rates went down. Man, and I'm like, all right, I need to start buying up freaking investment properties.
I'm trying to figure out how I made extra money. I made way more money last year, and like I didn't even see it. Like I can't even give accounts for a vast majority of it outside of like putting it somewhere and paying.
Do you have an accountant?
I have a financial advisor. I ain't gonna say I have an accountant.
You need to get you an accountant. I can probably. I think I have somebody I can refer you to. But that's one of the advantages of having a home. I strongly encourage everybody to have a home based business because of the tax advantages. My organization, I went to a couple of different trainings with some accountants. And when I tell you, when they broke down all the different advantages from having a home-based business.
Is this program or industry cost effective to get involved with?
Yes, it is.
Is it not priced out? Because I know a lot of these organizations, we're not going to say, me and you had a discussion, we're not going to throw that word out there because I don't want to tarnish nothing. But they have an entry fee or something like that. Is it like within range for the normal Joe?
It is. And then there's also, actually, there's a lot of people that they got their money back because of how well they worked everything.
Right. So, right. You recoup your money that you invest within a certain amount of time. Okay. So
some people did it within 2 days.
Nice.
I want to continue this, but I have an idea. So we running up on what, like, it's got to be close to 30 minutes.
It's time. Yeah. So I'm going to go through the cosmos real quick. We're in Taurus. The moon is in Taurus. Taurus season officially starts. I'm a Taurus. Ooh. So this is my season. Yay. Are you a Taurus too, Lindsay?
No, I'm not. But I love Tauruses. So tenacious.
I know. What's your sign?
I'm a Pisces, Sagittarius moon and Gemini rising, some crazy stuff.
I know,
stuff.
It's a lot. Yeah, like your full zodiac is like a whole lot of stuff.
We just talked
a little bit. But during this time, make sure y'all work on your throat chakra. Working at your voice. Get into your green thumb, you know, go into the garden or go to the park, you know, hang around some nature, you know what I'm saying? Nourish yourself with natural foods. That's always good. That's good all throughout the year.
Come to some new shit that I'm about to start called Meditation Moment. We'll talk about that when we go.
Okay. Meditation Moment. Looking forward to that. Stay tuned for that. And support a cause. That's an easy one. It's a lot of causes out here to support.
Like, yes, sir.
I'm a cause. Support my ass.
Amen.
But, we'll have to end right now.
Good. I enjoyed this, guys.
Excuse me. Ooh, that's that. That shit is strong. Tell us again where we can find you at.
Lindsay_Ultra. You're going to tag me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just tag your girl. Y'all click on a little tag or whatever. But Lindsay, LYNDSAY_Ultra, ULTRA. Live that ultra lifestyle. Ultra means extreme. And there's really nothing extreme about me. I'm just extremely passionate about serving people and helping people get to wherever they want to be in life.
You want to give me your email?
Sure, why not? Letter L, Harper, H-A-R-P-E-R, 220@gmail.com. That's a general email. But yeah, the best way to get in contact with me is through IG, little DM action.
Awesome. Sorry, y'all. I'm at my parents' house. So
all good. Oh, you're nice and cozy. Sure.
Yeah, right.
That nigga's in a bed right now. That nigga's in a bed, right.
Well, I'm in my bedroom. Well, a bedroom, yeah. Not my bedroom.
You can find me and Deshaun on IG, Facebook, Lightbulb Moment, LiteBulb Moments. And you can find Deshaun at Deshaun Deron. Is it Deshaun Deron on that?
Yeah.
IG? You can find me at Awesomenia, AWESOM, capital NIA17.
Right. Exactly how my name is spelled, DESHAUNDURON. And just an at in front of it. And that's my everything.
I don't give a fuck what I gotta say about me. But check us out on, what is it? Google
Podcast. We're on YouTube. You can check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher,
Radio,
Spotify.
I can never remember that shit. Radio One? Radio Public. I forget what that shit is called.
But we're on a lot of streaming networks.
A lot of streaming apps. You know that shit, son. No, for real, check us out. We appreciate you, Lindsay, man. We appreciate you taking time out of your day to do this with us.
Oh, man, I enjoyed this, guys. Thank you for having me. We have to do it again sometime when I have some more progress to report.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, keep us up to date, man. You know, you'll be our financial go-to. You'll be the person we do it. Yeah, so,
make it about a money thing, possibly, or, you know. Definitely.
Hey, I'm down.
Keeping people up to date. You know what I'm saying? Once you start getting into the stock market and everything else, you can kind of tell people what the temperature is.
Oh, shoot. That's a whole other spectrum, man. That's licensing and all that other stuff. I'm trying to...
You know more about how to stock market. We ain't going to live in ourselves. But yo, all right, boo. Okay. Yo, y'all.
Out.
Peace out.
Peace.